It is Spanning the State. I'm Brian Noonan.
And I am Kristen Bry. And National Foster Care Month is right now in May. We're halfway through it. And it's an annual observance held in our country to raise awareness about the needs of children in foster care and to acknowledge the efforts of those who are providing foster care. And as I said before the break, I am very interested eventually in becoming a foster parent. And so I'm so excited to have this conversation with our two guests. Heather Ford is currently a foster parent, and Jenny Keefe is WellPoint Care Network's Vice President of Child and Family Wellbeing, here to tell us more about, answer at least my personal question about this.
Yes, this is, instead of Krista getting on the phone, she always invites people
to get her questions answered. Let's just learn about this in real time. Yeah. And so, Heather, let's start with you. And so, how long have you been fostering?
This year will be 8 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
What was the inspiration to start?
I became an aunt.
Okay.
I became an aunt. My first niece, who is now, I think, 13, was adorable. And I used to babysit all the time. And then when my sister was trying to have a second, I was like, I want to have one. And after that, I went to a couple of orientations, and I ended up at WellPoint's orientation where they made me cry. And I went to the car and said, this is where I'm supposed to be. And I kept going.
What's the process like? First of all, how did they make you cry? And secondly, what do you have to go through to actually get a child, receive a child?
Sure.
Be given a child? I don't know the terminology.
Yeah. To become a foster parent is not a short process.
Yeah.
Okay.
I always say, if you want a babysitter, pick a foster parent, because we've been vetted. Yeah, you go through a home study. You go through an interview process. The person gets to know you very well. And you also go to the orientation. That's where they give you the facts of kind of some myths. But they also show you a video. And that's where they made me cry of the need. And from there, you do 30 hours of training your first year. And then every 2 years, you need 10 hours of training. For every 2 years, you have to relicense. And that's pretty much the process. In a nutshell, it's much longer than that.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, because the training, what I've heard is it's parenting classes.
Yes.
And it's parenting classes that even if you're not fostering, if you're just a parent, you might benefit from taking.
I absolutely agree. I kind of think all parents maybe should take some of these classes because, yes, but they also teach you about the court system. They teach you about trauma. They teach you about abuse. They teach you about structure. And how to best approach some of these kids when they come into your home.
And how, obviously they're going to teach you about trauma and how to deal with these things, but do you know when the child is coming into your home? Do you have that kind of background on what's, because some of these kids probably have had a rough time before they get to you. So how much of a challenge is that?
It is a challenge. It is a challenge. I will talk about, I have three adopted children. I will talk about my oldest. So he came to me at 4, and he is definitely a success story. His story makes me want to cry. He was very traumatized. He's been through a lot. And let's just say he had to go through a lot of services in order to be able to learn to use a fork to write things that you... If you're highly neglected, you don't have those fine motor skills. And even like potty training and how to be at school and go to school. He got through all of that, and he's now 12. Adopted, wonderful child. He's the pitcher of his baseball team. He does the morning pledge allegiance at school. I mean, he went from a really scared, traumatized child to a kid that's confident and, you know, is a part of his family and a part of his community.
Now that's going to make me cry.
Yeah.
So Jenny, what bigger picture after that amazing individual story, what is the current need in either Wisconsin or at least in Southeast Wisconsin?
Sure. In Wisconsin, and any given day, there's actually about 400,000 kids that are living in foster care.
400,000 kids are living in foster care in Wisconsin?
Not just foster care. So actually we call it out-of-home care. So it could be living with a relative like their aunt or their grandma or grandpa or a sibling or living with a foster parent. And in southeastern Wisconsin, actually a majority of those 400,000 are living here in southeast Wisconsin. We have Right now, last year we had 7,000 children that were living in Milwaukee that were in out-of-home care. So again, that's foster care, living with a relative, or in what's called a group home, which is a family-like setting, but there's some other kids living there with them.
When you're looking for someone to foster a child, what are the criteria? What, like, for example, what made Heather a good foster, a good candidate to be a foster parent?
Yeah, I think that's what people actually think about when they're considering being a foster parent. They say, oh, I'm not good enough. I'm not somebody that can handle all of those needs that Heather was just mentioning. But in reality, if you're somebody that loves kids, can take care of kids just for one day, you probably can take care of kids for 365 days out of the year. If you're somebody that has a big heart and wants to love and nurture kids and help them to heal, you're somebody that's going to probably be right and appropriate for this. But there are things that are required. Like Heather mentioned, there's 30 hours of training. That's not something that WellPoint or other licensing agencies come up with. That's not a requirement that we came up with on our own. Those are legal statutes. So there are some things that are required in order for you to become a foster parent. So
what about like space and things like that?
Yeah.
So the nuts and bolts kind of stuff.
You have to have a home that has enough rooms for the kids that are coming into your care. You can't have a boy and a girl in the same room. So you have to have enough rooms to have a boy and a girl be in their own room. And you can't have a criminal background that where you harmed kids, and you do have to have a income that allows you to take care of the kids.
Got it. All right. Well, when we come back, I want to do a little myth busting, because I think there's assumptions on what fostering is, but there's also what it isn't. And so when we come back, we will still be talking to Heather Ford, who is a current foster parent, and Jenny Keefe, who is WellPoint Care Network's Vice President of Child and Family Wellbeing. If you have any questions about foster care, feel free to text them in 855-616-1620. This is Spanning the State.
Spanning the State, I'm Brian Noonan.
And I am Kristen Bry, and we are talking about National Foster Care Month with Heather Ford, who is currently a foster parent or and has been for 8 years, and Jenny Keefe, who is WellPoint Care Network's Vice President of Child and Family Wellbeing. And we wanted to get to some myths and some myth busting as far as what foster care is and isn't. So what are some of the myths that you think, whether it's TV shows and movies, that is that people, the general public, thinks of when they think of foster care that isn't actually true?
Sure, I'll take that.
Oh, got to turn your mic on.
I'll take that. This is Jenny speaking, and Heather will probably talk about misconceptions or myths that we see in TV, but I think it's really important to note that a lot of people think of foster care as that long-term life commitment, like Heather was talking about. So adoption is something that happens with a lot of our families, but majority of families actually have the kids in their home returned to their birth families. Over 70% of kids are reunified with their parents, and that's ultimately the goal of out-of-home care or foster care, is that we help the parents to heal and the kids to heal, and the parents be ready to have their kids back with them. And in that time that they're living in foster care, they're developing a relationship with the birth parents. And ultimately, we want to see that family grow together and that the kids return back to their birth parents. But I think Heather wants to share a little bit about what her myths are.
Can I ask one quick follow-up to that?
Sure.
When a child is placed with a foster parent, do you have an idea of how long they may be with those foster parents? Or is it you're taking them in, might be a month, might be 3 years?
Yeah, I think that's one of the hardest parts about being a foster parent, is that you don't know, and we never know. It could be that it seems like the family's going to be ready and have the kids back in their home, in the birth family, within a couple months. But in reality, things change in the family's life, and then it might end up being that they never return home. So ultimately, we don't really know, and that's what makes it really hard.
Okay, Heather, now what are some of these misconceptions? Because we've all seen the movies where the foster child comes in and they turn out to be an axe murderer. That's probably not always happening, correct?
No, that is not the case.
Good.
However, I'm gonna add to what Jenny just said and say one of the myths that I hear often as a foster parent is, oh, I could never do it. I could never give them back.
Oh.
And I just want to say that you have to go in with a different perspective. Your perspective is Not that they're in your home, maybe forever, but maybe not, but they're in your home because something happened to them. And so to provide them that love, that structure, and the meaning of what a family is and what a home is, no matter how long they stay, is always my goal. Because I don't know how long, and I've had children leave my home, but I'd like to think while they were with me, they felt loved, you know? So nice. That's a change of perspective.
Is there an expectation or rules around once they go back to their family, if they want to stay in contact or if you want to stay in contact, or what are the, because you come to care for this child, yeah. And even if you are rooting for them to do well with their birth parents, are there rules against being able to stay in contact with them?
No. So I had a little boy who now would probably be maybe 10, but at the time he was 2. And he ended up being adopted by his aunt. And we stayed in touch for a while. I was invited to his 3-year-old birthday party. And then they moved up north. And I haven't seen them in a long time. But while they were still in the area, I was a part of their family for a little while. It was very nice. Yeah.
Well, we have one question. We're running out of time. But I'll answer this. So do foster children...
Is it the ex-murder question?
Yes,
oh,
it is.
You want me to go back to the ex-murder question?
Do foster children transition to being eligible for adoption if the foster parents don't plan to adopt them?
Foster children are always eligible for adoption. Okay. Ultimately, we don't want kids to be living in foster care for very long. So if they've been living in foster care for 12 months, then that's when we start talking about whether adoption is the right plan.
And then finally, really quickly, where can people get more information if we've sparked their interest?
Thank you. Please go to wellpointcare.org or you can call us at 1-855-GROW-HOPE.
Perfect. All right. Well, thank you, Heather.
Thank you, ladies.
Thank you, Jenny. This was wonderful.
Yeah. Thank you.
News time 158. This is Spanning the State.